Even so does God's word come from above. Comes from above. I'm going to give you an illustration of this with Adam. Remember when Adam, he was created, right? He was created as a federal head of all the human race. And he was made upright and holy. But as soon as he fell, he died spiritually. He knew nothing of God's doctrine. He knew nothing of God's salvation. He sought to cover himself. This is what men do. By traditions and creeds and works, they seek to cover themselves before God. And listen, Adam would have stayed that way and died in his sins had one thing not happened. Had God not come down. And that's exactly what God did. God came down with what? What did he come down with? Did he come down in condemnation? No. He was already condemned. Justice had already been executed. If God wanted to condemn him, all he had to do was leave him alone. But see the grace of God descending like the rain, small rain. Adam, where are you? Can you not see that? Is that not tender? Adam had just murdered his whole race. God condescended to ask where he was. Where are you? What have you done? What have you done? And he gave him a very sweet message, didn't he? He said, I've already considered this. I've already planned for this. The seed of the woman will crush the head of that serpent. And he'll do it by one way, the bruising of his heel. God came down and gave him a message, not of vengeance, but of mercy. A message of mercy. He didn't come with a message of law. This is what men, why do men are so consumed with bringing the law into things? The law can do nothing but condemn you. The law has one purpose, and that's to shut you up. That's it. It can't help you. Wherefore then serveth the law? It has this, that every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. That's the purpose of the law. God comes when his doctrine comes. It doesn't come in the thunder or the rain, but in the still small voice. Sinner, where are you? Why have you done this? I've got a message. My doctrine is not hard. It is a gentle doctrine. It is this, that the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, should come to destroy the works of the devil. He should come to put away your sin. To take your sin from you and satisfy the justice of God in your place. Is that not a sweet message? That Christ should come down? Isn't that like the gentle rain? How did Christ come down? He came down the same way he came to Adam. He came down in mercy, in meekness. He came to save. Came in love and grace to save the unworthy. And his mission was to represent sinners, to destroy sin, to remove it, to accomplish his work. And he did this by offering himself a sacrifice to God. This is the doctrine of God. It comes down gently, and this is the tender rain. John said this, behold, what manner of love? Have you considered the love of God? Behold the manner of this love. That God would bestow upon us, that we, this is astounding, this is amazing, that we, the most unworthy, the one who only merits God's wrath, that we should be called the sons of God. There is no greater love than that. Paul says in Romans 5, when we were yet without strength, Christ died. Now, when did Christ die? When we were without strength. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet rebels, haters of God, Christ died for us. And what is the doctrine of Christ regarding his death? Did he actually redeem? The tender mercies of God sent down his Son like the gentle rain to give his life a ransom for many. Was that ransom successful? Did he actually redeem? Did he actually obtain righteousness by his obedience? What is the doctrine of God concerning Christ? Since Christ is the doctrine of God, Christ was sent to save sinners. Did he actually do it? Look back at your text. He says in verse 4, he is the rock. My doctrine. What is my doctrine? He. That's my doctrine. He. Who is this? He is the rock. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. Got that? The work of this one, this Savior, is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. How can God, whose ways are judgment, God of truth, without iniquity, how can he pardon a guilty sinner? Listen, by the perfect work of the rock. The perfect work of Jesus Christ. Because the work of Christ is perfect to redeem, perfect to put away all the sins of his people. This is the doctrine. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, my rock. I'm going to publish this, the doctrine of God. So then the question is, do you need this rain? God's doctrine descends like the rain. The doctrine is Christ. He came down from heaven. He accomplished the will of the Father. He redeemed his people. His work is perfect. Who needs rain? Only those that are dry and barren. The dry and barren herbs, they need the rain. Are you such an one? And behold, the doctrine of God then is to sinners. This message is only to one group of people. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but one group of people. Sinners. Sinners to what? Repentance. To repentance. This doctrine of God is to sinners. Is to dry this doctrine to sinners. And this is no lifeless doctrine. This is a doctrine that gives life. Isn't that what rain does? You have a plant. Without water, it'll die. It is of necessity that it have water. So is a thirsty sinner. We need the water. We need the doctrine of God that descends not as a storm, but as a tender rain. A gentle rain upon the tender herb. Behold, the work of Christ is perfect, a work that is finished, a work that needs no help. Is this not a gentle rain? Here God sings to the broken, to the weak and wounded sinner, to the tender plant that bows before God in his guilt. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. How tender is this? Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What are the requirements? To come to Christ, what are the requirements? Are you weary? Are you weary of sin? Sin is no joy. It's a burden. There is no joy in the things of this world that lasts. Things of this world become wearisome. Are you weary? What does Christ say? Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden. He doesn't say, come unto me, you that are perfect, you that are whole, you that need no physician. No, you that need one, come. And I'll give you something. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn my doctrine. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. How gentle is this rain? How gentle is this doctrine? God's doctrine of Christ performed perfect work descends to the sinner, to the unworthy. Jack Shank said this a long time ago. He said, you say you're unworthy of least of God's mercies. Is that your condition? You're unworthy of God's mercies? Well, aren't you glad that Christ is worthy and that his redemption is accomplished for the unworthy? You say you have no goodness or merits to claim. Well, aren't you thankful God accepts sinners based on the goodness and merits of his Son? You say the law affords me no hope. You're right. But the gospel declares mercy and grace that is freely given to sinners because of the doing and dying of Christ. You see, this salvation is free. The only way you cannot have it is if you try to earn it. You need it? Come. It's what Christ said, come to me. Don't come to the preacher. Don't come anywhere else. Come to him. This is a tender message, a message of mercy and grace. This is the doctrine of God, that there is nothing needed or wanted of the sinner. God doesn't need anything you have. If you're a real sinner, you know that. You know there is nothing you can give to God that make you acceptable. This doctrine comes to sinners. We come based on the perfect work of the rock. His work is perfect. His work is a work of grace, unmixed by the hands of men. This is the doctrine of God that drops upon the souls of sinners. Now look, this doctrine that we preach also concerns this, the depravity of man. We preach the gospel of God's free grace, but in order for one to need it, he must understand his nature. The doctrine of God declares the depravity of man. Look at verse 5 of your text. They have corrupted themselves Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Though God's doctrine of Christ is sure, his work is perfect, a work that should be received, that should be believed by men, yet we read here, they have corrupted themselves. This is true of us all, isn't it? We have corrupted ourselves. By nature, our spot is not the spot of the children of God. David said, we have come forth from the womb speaking lies. Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is the doctrine of God concerning man. That man is lost and dead. By one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Though God had spoken such a message of grace, though we preach this message of grace, why is it not received? Isn't it a tender message? A message of free mercy. Forgiveness of sins. Pardon from all iniquity. Behold, the work of Christ is perfect. Do you need a perfect work? There it is. It's free. Why will men not believe it? One reason. They are absolutely and utterly dead. They're dead. Because he cannot, and because of this, he cannot receive it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because he's spiritually condemned. Therefore, let us see that the gospel in its work, then it must be a secret work. A secret work. The work of God that descends from heaven to the sinner, it must be a secret work because it must come from within. It must come from within. It must work on the heart, the depraved hearts of man. An inner work must be done. Remember back in verse 1, look, he says, My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. Dew is a mysterious thing. At least it was in this time. They didn't know maybe all the science of it and stuff, but it is. Where does it come from? When you get up in when you go to bed at night, the ground could be just totally dry. And you get up in the morning. Now the rain, it didn't rain all night. Nothing. And you walk out in the grass, it's all wet. Where'd that come from? Mysterious work, isn't it? It just appeared out of nowhere. Isn't this how the Word of God descends on the hearts of men? Like the dew. It's a mysterious thing. There's a sinner, one who despises God, not looking for Christ. Not looking for Christ. Not looking to his gospel, believing it's foolishness. But once the Spirit of God gives life, once he gives the dew of life and faith, his dew of life, faith appears. Not by an act of will or eloquence of the preacher, but by the free grace of God, the dew of life springs up in the heart. He sees his sin and the dryness of his soul and his need. Do you know your need? Where'd that come from? One day you didn't have a need, and the next minute you did. That's how the Word of God appears. It comes on the soul without being asked. I'm so thankful it worked this way, that God never waited for me, that He came to me. One minute I did not believe, and the very next minute I believed. That's how the Word of God descends on the heart. Christ says, like the wind, you don't know where it's coming and where it's going. You can only see the effects of it. I don't know where the Word of God's going to go and give, who He's going to give it to. Let me ask you this. Do you have a need of it? Do you need Christ? And let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him. This is a work of God upon the heart. When God's gospel of Jesus Christ descends like the rain and it distills like the dew on the hearts of men, life springs out. Life springs out. And what's the evidence of this life? One thing, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. John says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God. You received Him? You see that little herb? Little dried up branches just begging for the rain. And all of a sudden, the dew distills on it. You know what that plant does? Sucks it in. Could it do anything else? If it had life, can a plant do anything else? Just natural to suck in that rain, isn't it? It's exactly how it is with the sinner. It's just natural now for us to believe. Faith. And once this work of faith comes in, we know this. This is the doctrine of God, that all who are living must have a conflict. A conflict. You that are living, is it not so with you? And once we had one nature, now we have two. The flesh and the spirit. Flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another. When he talks about Israel corrupting themselves, Moses is giving a prophecy. He's saying, look, you know, once you cross over, that's what you're going to do. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to go after other gods. You'll sin. Like Israel, they were delivered from Egypt by the blood and water. They were delivered, but we still see are like Israel in that we soon are fallen and crooked. That is, we are continually plagued by the old nature that resides in us. What Paul calls the old man. The old man. This is why we must continually put him off. This is the doctrine of God. Put off the old man and his deeds. Put on the new man, which is created after God in true holiness. And so as Israel struggled with sin, Abraham, David, Moses, all these saints that went before us, can you not see them struggling with sin? This is true of everyone who's received the doctrine of God, who believes on Jesus Christ. We struggle with sin constantly. And so when you read this, they corrupted themselves. My conscience surely convicts me over and over that I have corrupted myself. You that believe, do you not loathe yourself? Do you find anything good about you? You know, as part of the covenant, God's eternal covenant, you look at that, I think it's Ezekiel 36, he said, they shall loathe themselves. You that believe, you loathe yourselves because we have corrupted ourselves. What do we need then? We that are constantly warring, what do we need? We need the doctrine of God to refresh us. I need this again. When that plant takes in that water, is that all he needs to do one time? He needs to be watered one time, and that's it. No. He constantly needs the rain. So do we constantly need the doctrine of God. We need to hear it again and again. And listen what happens when we fall. Look at verse 6. Listen to the gentleness of this rebuke. Do you thus reward the Lord, O you foolish and unwise? Is that how you repay him? We look at our sin and hear his words. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, I love you. No, Simon. Do you love me? Yes. No, Simon, listen. Do you love me more than these? Is that not tender? Is that not distilled like the dew on your hearts? Here's the refreshment. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It is the love of God that refreshes the soul. That's why I don't talk much about your love to God. What good would that do? I know you love him. The question is, his love for me, does he love me? That's the only way my love can be sustained, is if he loves me. And so what's the remedy for this wicked and crooked nature of ours when we are rebuked? Look at this in verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. What's the remedy for such sorrow and grief? What is it? My doctrine. Remember my doctrine. Remember this, believer. God says, I have chosen you. I have loved you. Remember. In your dry state, remember the doctrine of God this. I have chosen you. I have elected you. Remember this. I have put you in union with Christ. You see, my wagon's hitched to Christ. Whatever he has, I have. Whatever he's earned, I've earned. And since that I'm hitched to Christ, listen to this, remember his success. Scripture says, he hath by himself obtained. He entered in with his own blood once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How long is that? How long have you been redeemed? Remember this, that he has given us his Spirit. He has given us life and faith. Don't think little of faith, friends. Don't think little of faith in Christ. It's impossible for men to do. you do it? Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? Remember how he gave you faith. And remember this, it's God that keeps you. Tammy, you were wanting to go to Florida again next year. If you live that long, consider this, God's kept you that whole time. I keep you. Now I ask you this, is the doctrine of God cold? Is it hard? Is it cruel? Not to the tender herb. Now listen, you can put dew on a building all day long. It's no value to the building. Why? It's not living. But to those of us who are living, God's doctrine, where we find God's doctrine, want to know what God, you know who God is? What God requires, what God has provided, right here. My doctrine comes from this word. This whole word speaks of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God magnifies His Son, magnifies His work. He is the rock. He is perfect. His work is perfect. You are crooked and perverse. Why do you do that? Remember the days of old. Remember His doctrine. You that know it, remember it. Remember His electing grace, His redeeming grace, His regenerating grace, His keeping grace. And I know this, to you, His doctrine drops like the tender rain, distills like the dew on our hearts. Isn't that what He said about His word in Isaiah 55? He said, as the rain cometh down from heaven and watereth the earth, giveth bread to the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word descend from heaven and do what? Exactly what I determine it to do. And what was His determination? You read the rest of that. It's to give life, joy, and peace to who? Sinners. Sinners. Tender plants. Dried up, withered herbs. That's who benefits from this doctrine. God says, that's my doctrine. And that's the only doctrine I want to talk about from this pulpit. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. And He said this, you shall be saved. That's pretty, I always like His words emphatic, isn't it? There's no guesswork here. You will be. Pray God will bless us.